Hello, and welcome to 30 Going on 13. This is the podcast where myself, Olivia Collect, and my hilarious co-host, Maddie Foley, take a look back at all of the movies from our childhood that have shaped us into the sad, some might say misguided, just generally disappointed with how life has turned out adults that we are today. Each week, we will be bringing you all of the classics. You know them. You love them. We're talking She's All That, A Walk to Remember, Bring It On, Center Stage. Heck, we may throw in a pinch of Grease or a sprinkle of Camp Rock, and we will definitely be doing something from the Olsen canon. For each movie, we will dedicate two episodes, a pre-watch episode where we talk about our memories of the movie and where we were at in our little child lives at the time, as well as a post-watch episode where we watch the movie with our keen, critical, crow's-footed eyes and give you a full play-by-play, scholarly rundown of the film. 30 Going on 13 is a place for fellow millennial schlubs to come together and relive our childhoods because, frankly, I think we can all agree that is when we peaked. So toss on some Dave Matthews, grab yourself some Dunkaroos, and join us, because if there is one thing that we do know, it's that misery loves company. Later. I'm so sorry if I screamed at anyone just now.
I felt like that was great.
Hello, fair listeners. Welcome to 30 Going on 13. I'm sorry. I'm just like brimming with joy right now. I am combusting.
You have a mile wide smile on right now. You're ear to ear.
I'm grinning from ear to ear. My face.
You actually have a glow.
My face is red as hell. I did just exfoliate it within an inch of my life and then put something on it, so it might have to do with that. So I am literally minutes off of my watch of the movie that we are talking about today. It is none other than Grease.
Grease
is the word that you heard.
It's got Gru.
It's got, okay. It's got feeling. Okay. I didn't look it up, and I was singing maybe it the mood whole time, but I also was like, I don't know what the lyrics are. It's got mood.
It might be mood because feeling.
Honestly, it could be anything, because Grease is everything to me.
I now am living my life. I'm a Grease head. I've chosen to.
Okay. I'm so glad you're saying that, because this movie, it has me reconsidering how I live my life. Is the correct stereotype rockabilly? I want to wear those clothes. I want to dance like that. I want to live my life like a Grease character.
I want Kanicki to come up to me on a Ferris wheel and tell me that he'll raise my baby even though it's not his.
Can we just say something right out of the gate? I am in love with Kanicki. I literally couldn't have written more in my notebook. I love Kanicki! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Can we just, all jokes aside, like, can you level
I'm
with
not
me
kidding.
Right now?
I am
like,
in you love with Kanicki.
Okay, you agree. He's yes. So fucking hot, right?
Yes. The most romantic part of this whole movie is when he literally goes up to her on the Ferris wheel and goes, get down from there. You got a bun in the oven. Yes. Whatever the fuck he says. I was like, swoon me, take me. Let's fly to the moon. I love you. This will never be top.
The real love story, Kanicki and Rizzo. Like, that is a love story for the ages. 100%. Was watching this movie the wrong way my whole fucking life.
Thinking she was the villain.
Okay.
Don't make me laugh, to quote Danny Zuko.
We'll discuss this more during chronological, but straight up, I'm coming to learn that basically everyone who I viewed as a villain as a kid, I clearly was a goddamn moron. I didn't know anything. I was a bozo. What the hell am I doing?
You're Sandra D.
Yes.
Your journey was similar to Sandra D's in that, you know, she found out the cool side is actually way better.
Okay, cool but rude. Cool but rude.
Party dude. Sweeping statements, we both loved this movie. It's so much fun. The dancing, everything. My disbelief was, you know, suspended like a trapeze artist.
I was using those silk things hanging from the ceiling, suspended off the ground.
I think they're called the scarves. They're not called the scarves.
They're called silks. Okay, you know what's happening? We're in grease overload right now. We need to dial it down.
I need to be rung back in with a doon 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 doon. So before we get into our chronological rundown of this movie, we did have a listener story that came in from Jordan K. For those of you who don't know, we're going to be asking anyone who has a story about one of the movies we're going to be doing coming up. Just send in your stories about the first time you watched it or what you remember. So this is from Jordan K. Thank you, Jordan. And he says, first time I watched Grease was at my neighbor's house. His mom ends up sitting and watching with us and pointing out all the sexual innuendos during the drive-in scene, you know, with the hot dog jumping in the bun and stuff. And then she goes, that's just what it was like back then. Imagine 2 13-year-olds watching it. And then my friend's mom being like, see how he's rubbing his crotch on saran wrap? That's because people used to use saran wrap as condoms. Thanks, Jordan. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan.
There's so much to unpack there. It's Christmas morning. Let's unpack.
This is an unboxing video. I'm on YouTube and I'm an influencer.
You're 6 years old. You just raked in $3 million. Moms watching sexual scenes, I just feel they never know what to say.
It should be outlawed.
I remember watching Bad Santa with my friend and her parents, and it was excruciating start to finish. It was a nightmare.
Just no one should acknowledge. Just everyone sit in uncomfortable silence.
No,
that's
Olivia,
how it should
no.
be.
That's bad too. There's I just feel like there's no, like, sitting in silence. Oh god, the worst is my dad who will like pretend that he has to go do something or like strike up another conversation while the sex scene happens. Like,
great,
just be like,
and that's correct.
No, it's worse. It's
yes
worse.
Just do that. I have
nothing.
To go to the washroom.
I forgot to renew my driver's license. Like, truly anything. Just get me out of here.
I don't like that situation for Jordan.
I'm sorry, Jordan.
I'm very sorry.
The saran wrap thing.
That really went over my head.
Am I 6 years old and not getting these sex jokes? Because a lot of them are going over my head. Before we get into our chronological rundown, I also want to say I went in with the intention of, like, watching this with a very critical eye. I've got my science lab coat on.
Okay.
I've got my beakers out. I've got my
monocle?
My goggles on.
Oh.
I did motion a monocle.
Okay, well, that's good because I will balance it out with I was just whimsical as hell. Toe tap. And honestly, my neighbor downstairs is probably pissed because floors were rumbling. It may as well have been Thunder Road up here.
Okay, that's what I knew. That's why you were 10 minutes late for us on meeting. You were doing your pirouettes, you were doing your hand jive.
I was born to hand jive, baby.
Here is our adult recap of the film Grease. Olivia, you're just fresh, hot off the press. So why don't you start us off?
The intro is two prong. They give us a little bit of like a teaser. Here's the context you're gonna need to know. Danny and Sandy, which, sorry, just even saying it now, I don't like how those names sound too alike.
Sonically, it's a nightmare.
Oh, do not like it. Okay, Zuko and Sandy were...
Oh, hate that too.
Yeah, even that coming out of my mouth wasn't really working either. Dee and...
Oh my god, these are getting worse. They're getting worse. Okay.
Sandy and Danny, they're flouncing, they're trouncing, they're prance and they're dancing all over the beach. They're in love.
They're in khakis.
Oh my God. Oh, all the outfits. I am just lapping them up. Every outfit I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with Olivia Newton-John. She, like, even her thin eyebrows, I was like, you're rocking those right now. Oh my God,
totally.
You're at the beach with them.
Yes.
Here comes in the big bad scientist, aka me, with my big logistical hat on. Okay. It's the first frame and things aren't adding up.
What's not adding up?
Have you ever seen a beach so deserted in your life? Have you?
Well,
because when I went to Port Dover last summer, I couldn't even fit one beach towel on the sand.
Okay.
What beach are they hanging at?
Dr. Evil. I think that. Where do they live? Are they in California?
They're in California, yes.
So they're swimming in beaches, literally and figuratively.
I know, it's but not that where hard are the docks? Where's the hot dog stand? Didn't even see a single cigarette butt. Like, what kind of beach is this? It's not Ontario Beach, I'll tell you that.
Okay, when I used to watch Laguna Beach, there were tons of shots of lone walking romantic on the beach. If we're talking Woodbine Beach, not the same thing. Not the same thing. Of course, we're all clamoring for our one freaking beat. All
right. So that's my first point of contention. I hate to have to do this. I really do.
I can tell you're hating taking on that role. Okay. So the next is the credits. Everything about this is perfection. The song is literally my new favorite song. I'm gonna play it multiple times a day. I'm gonna use it as my alarm in the morning.
It somehow works to pump you up but also chill you out.
Ugh.
Like, you could be going out for a night with your boys, taking, you know, riffs of cocaine, doing shots of vodka,
right?
Or and you could be listening to that song, or you could be getting home, you know, stressful day, bathtub, candles lit, put that song on too.
First thing in the morning, like, God, gotta go to work, gotta go to school, gotta hit the salt mines. Put that on. Now I'm scooting to wherever I okay. gotta be. Visually, aesthetically, like, I love these little caricatures. They're so fun.
I'm happy I'm seeing Sandy. I love it. I'm seeing Danny. I love it.
The elephant. The elephant.
The elephant just broke the walls down.
Rizzo. Okay.
They did her so wrong.
You mentioned this up top in the pre. I really, like, couldn't conceptualize what you were referencing. The moment it graced the screen and my you're doing an impersonation right now, it's horrifying. The moment my eyes laid upon that portrait, it is absolutely criminal.
It's she, the legality, it comes into question.
Okay, she looks like a hybrid of Jay Leno and a rat. Disturbing. It's offensive.
Did she, Stockard Channing, murder this caricaturist's family?
Absolutely should have been a lawsuit.
He accentuated her buck teeth. He made her look 20 years older. He pulled her hairline back. He made her eyes, like, very ill and squinty. Like, it's just terrible. If you don't remember it offhand, go back and take a look at it, because it's worth it. After the intro, it's like that first morning of school.
I'm sorry, but, like, I feel like a teenage girl again. Literally, my very first note is, I am sexually attracted to Kaneki and Zuko. They are hot as hell. Yeah. And my preference is Kaneki. I think he is the most gorgeous man I've ever seen in my life. Danny, too. It makes every freaking man who's ever been in a movie afterwards just look despicable.
This hits for me on such a specific kink of mine, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A Danny and a Kaneki. Take Danny out of his T-Birds jacket and his grease hair. Same with Kaneki. Dress them as jocks and, you know, take and give them some shampoo. I don't think I would.
Yeah, totally. The hairstyle and the clothing is a big part of it.
And also, the smoking.
Oh my God, I used to be
so like, why are they outlawing smoking in movies? This is so, so dumb. I get it. The whole time watching this, I'm going, smoking is cool, smoking is cool, smoking is cool.
It's an aphrodisiac. Freaking leather jacket with the collar popped up and a cigarette hanging out of your mouth.
Oh my God.
Okay.
You know how Pepe Le Pew floats on the whiff of the scent? That's like me, but with Danny and Kaneki's cigarette smoke. Yeah. And the way it's like, doo, 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 doo. Oh. And Danny does a turnaround.
Okay.
It's like, and Kaneki goes, say, yo, was packing boxes all summer.
It's manual labor. I want to see you packing those boxes. Like, I don't like to be crass. This movie awakened something in me that.
Sexually.
Oh my God. Goodness gracious.
One other quick thing. Why didn't the boys see each other all summer?
Well,
Danny just says, I was at the beach.
Okay. Well, you know what?
What?
No social media, no cell phones. They're working.
Could you imagine one of your best friends, July and August, goes missing. You never speak to them. You don't talk to them at all. Come back in September. And you go, where were you? Like, what happened? And they go, I was at the beach.
I mean, we don't know what those times were like.
What does I was at the beach mean? All day, every day? I'm just, okay? I'm just.
We've met the boys and now we're meeting the girls. Okay. You heard me blubbering on about Kaneki and my obsession with Kaneki, but buckle up.
You thought that was bad?
You haven't heard me talk about Rizzo. Rizzo is officially my idol. The second she steps out of that car, she has the best sunglasses, the best outfit. She's cool as hell.
Their pink lady jackets, though they kind of look cheap, are cool as hell. They look so, so, so good in them. The sunglasses, cool as hell.
To my child self, you are a freaking moron. God. You are a bozo. You don't know anything. You think Rizzo is a villain?
Oh, sister,
don't know what's coming.
So we meet the boys. We meet the girls. Sandy's here. They really just quickly gloss over her story. I don't know why she wouldn't expect Danny to be at this school.
Okay, and so begins. There's things about this movie that...
Listen, I love Grease, period.
Same, same, same. And there are things about this movie that I do not comprehend. They're not tracking for me. And one of them is like, okay, so they spent all summer together. There's no discussion about...
Can I get your number?
You're in high school. I'm in high school. Where do you go to school?
I thought you were supposed to move back to Australia. No, they changed their minds. Okay, like that's really weird.
Why are you here to begin with, honestly?
Why at this beach? Is this beach a Twilight Zone situation where it's only Danny and Sandy that exist at this beach and it's void of time and space? And
oh, you know what? Actually, that would be very in line with how the movie ends.
Oh my God, it was a dream the whole time. Oh,
there's supernatural, magical elements of this movie, and maybe that beach was... never existed to begin with.
Okay. That beach has been dead for 22 years.
that beach hasn't lived here in over 50 years.
They say on dark nights.
that beach burned down. That beach burned down 100 years ago.
So, yeah, and all that's glossed over so, so quickly. And then Sandy's like, hi, I'm here to start school. Okay, we also get an intro to Blanche, and Blanche's smudgy fingers are something that I will never, ever forget. As a child, I was sickened. As a young adult, sickened. Adolescent, a little more forgiving. Adult again. Totally sickened. Fingers being smudgy with like chocolate that she's licking off of them.
That's me with the sweater and the elongated neck.
It's mental illness, love. So next door neighbors with the Bring It On cheers is Grease intonations.
This is the most, to say the least. Like they're little. Is it a part of the occult? I don't know. Like these, sonic is the Illuminati that seep into your brain and don't leave.
Yeah, are aliens sending us a message through?
Okay, I think you're onto something.
And maybe it's only the ones who are like willing to hear the message that remember it.
And that goes back to my comments about maiming a generation.
Half my brain is a smooth dolphin's back with Bring It On cheers and Grease intonations.
This is also very like an iconic line that sticks with me, where Sandy says he was sort of special and she goes, there ain't no such thing.
Oh, I wish when I was a kid I heard that and I didn't go, she's cynical. Yeah. I wish when I was a kid I heard that and I went, damn straight.
Oh my god, totally. As a kid I'm like, get out of here, you mean lady.
You're cold.
You evil witch.
Okay, so we'll get into Summer Nights then. Down. Okay, like I'm hearing that and I've got butterflies in my stomach.
Like, were you also singing the entire film?
Absolutely. Sang the entire film. Spoke the entire film.
Yeah. Like, that was like me saying, do you eat, drink, breathe?
Some quick cues about Summer Nights. Why does that man have a water gun? Where did he get the water gun? I guess they're kids. Yeah,
it's easy to forget. They're kids. This is, for me, a part that's sort of like, I hate to say it, but like not really tracking for me, not really making sense. Has no one else in this school been on a date before? There's... a lot of enthusiasm from every man, woman, a child. Yes, I would say child, but no one in this movie is a child. Oh my god, they're on the edge of their seats. Tell us everything, as if no one else has ever been on a date.
We know Rizzo has. We know Marty has. We know Frenchie is sort of dating that other one.
Cons. They're all sleeping around. Meanwhile, they're excited by this date.
Is it like, are they bullying Sandy? Is Summer Nights actually secretly like everyone's bullying Sandy by like, oh, really? You had a date? Like,
well, maybe I don't know, because they're doing it with Danny and they're glorified. They think he's cool as hell for having had this date.
But the guys are like, did you fuck her?
Yeah.
In the butt. And then... And then their other questions are like, how much force did you use? Like, it's very, like, they do not say, they don't say that line. I'm sorry, we need to stop. Did you just ask me if the lyrics to that song actually were, did you fuck her in the butt? Did you need me to clarify that?
I thought maybe there was some sort of euphemism in there that I don't know about.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But then the girls are like, does he breathe air? Yeah. Like, it's like very boring. Like, yes, you obviously know the answer. It's like, does he have a car?
You know what? Does he have a car at the time? It seemed silly to me at the time. It's like, okay, are we making fun of her? Oh, what a silly question. But as a 30-year-old woman living in Toronto, it couldn't be more prescient, which...
It's on par with personality for me. Like, it's
in this city.
When I was in high school, like, does he have a car? I should have got that tattooed on my tramp stamp area, because all I wanted to know, who has a car, who's taking me to Wendy's on lunch, who's taking me to Tim Hortons for an ice cap, who's driving me home from school. Like,
right. Not to brag. Issuing a brag alert. Not because my high school boyfriend did have a car. A Toyota Camry that belonged to his parents, so it was not in fact his own car, but he had access to a car. So I was going
Shoo-pa-pa, yeah.
So I was going to Mama's Pizza at lunch,
and you were going to the peanut gallery, or what's that thing called
Peanut Gallery, aka Peanut Plaza, was junior high. This is high school. Okay. This is a whole other I'm so plaza dumb.
Summer Nights, my notes: Rizzo, cool as hell, all in black. When she says, because he sounds like a drag, and pushes the girls off the bench, I was like, oh, that's all I need to do. That's all I need to be.
I am a Rizzo head.
I'm a Rizzo head. Okay, take me to a concert. Take me to a concert. Buy me some merch. I'm a damn Rizzo head. Sandra D, you know, she's talking about the doc. There is one line where she talks about getting damp, where I'm like, oh, honey, you don't even know the joke is on you. Okay, this whole cafeteria, this is a prank. This, you're being right. Pranked.
Yeah, she's a subject of mockery for much of this.
It's weird because part of me also loves her.
Oh my God. Her character sucks, but she is so great.
ONJ?
Yes. Oh my God. She is so great.
She brings something to it that's like, it's almost like she's coming up to the camera going, listen, guys.
Oh, totally.
Fucking blows, yeah. But let's just play along.
Absolutely. Like, I'm able to see past this drab, lame character to her essence, yeah, and still be able to respect her.
Summer Nights ends. They hit that final note that's ear shattering. It's not good.
Yeah.
When the note resolves, it's fine, but you're still left with sort of the haunting memory of the harmony that they just hit, which is...
I'm just kind of waiting for you to do it because it seems very much in your wheelhouse.
I don't even think I can't do a harmony myself. That summer night. I was trying to hit both notes. That is not a harmony.
That is a pitch that...
It's like a semitone up. It's terrible. Isn't
pleasurable to a listener, but...
That note is worthy of note.
Next, we are at the pep rally, I think it's called.
Yes.
Because in this world, there is a cheer culture, and they're engaging in cheer culture. I'm loving it, of course.
Yes.
I'm eating it up. I live for cheer culture. You had mentioned knee-length skirts and long sleeves. And
yes.
I laughed and laughed and laughed. And I said, that is despicable. You shouldn't do it at all. Okay. If it looked like this.
Yeah.
I'm loving these long sleeve sweaters. I'm loving these long skirts. Like,
they weren't like it, unfortunately.
But
I love that you are willing to learn and you are willing to open up your heart and be wrong.
I suspect that you also took issue with the fact that it's her first day of school. And
yes, Olivia.
She's on the cheer squad already.
Of course I took issue with that.
She's been fitted for a uniform already.
Throw the logistics out the window, because we all know that timeline does not make sense. To get pom-poms, you just have extra pom-poms lying around. Yeah, right. Girls are losing those all the time. You think you have her measurements. You think you... Exactly. You got something fitted. Great. No, thank you. When did she learn to cheer? It's the first day of school. Like, I mean, she was bad, obviously, but like, she would have had to at least like gone to a practice. Yada, 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 yada. All of that aside... I'm a woman who prides herself on, you know, one day living in a meritocracy. You know, the cream
rises to the top.
What's that expression? The creamiest cream. Oh, it goes
that's
up.
And the
bad cream goes to the bottom. And this situation,
it's topsy turvy.
Does not make sense.
The world
to me.
Is upside down. It's a question mark for me, Sandy. I don't know.
When were the tryouts? Like, did she?
This is a freaking whirlwind.
Frankly, that would be too much for your first day. Here are your books. Here are your classes. Here are all these new kids. Oh, you're on the cheer team. What?
Did you even go home in between? Like, and then she's going to go to a sleepover after? Oh, my God.
Her parents
God.
Must be worried sick.
Yeah.
Where is our daughter? Where is our Sandra D?
Yeah.
So at one point during the pep rally, the Scorpions show up.
God.
The T-Birds go... Scorpions are here. Okay, I don't know what accent I'm doing for them.
Scorpions are here. They know that's our turf.
They know that's our turf. Okay, I sound like...
Mine is terrible. I actually worry that mine is offensive.
Who's the Piggly Wiggly guy from Looney Tunes? Turf. The scorpions are here. They're on our turf. Turf? The scorpions are here. They're on our turf.
Okay. They're on our
toy.
Okay.
You know what? Turf is a hard one to say with that accent. It's not a good beginner word.
Turf is actually worse. Like the way you're doing it, where you're like, they're on a
scorpion's head. They're on a turf.
Toif.
Toif? At this point, all the scorpions do
drive by
is quickly drive by, like half a second. Imagine being the other guys in the car, the lead scorpions, like, guys, we're gonna crash the Rydell High fucking pep rally. Let's go. They're like, yeah, let's go, let's go. They get there. They're like, yeah, let's crash it. And he's like, just kidding. We're driving by in half a second and then we're gone. That's our night. They leave so quickly.
They're scoping out the scene. Their team uniform is, they look like, and I don't know if this is something that I...
Are you going to say the village people?
I was going to say they look like they're going to... A leather bar.
Okay. The one guy is wearing a leather vest with one of those leather
conductor hats.
Leather limousine.
Oh man, it's a split second, but it's so memorable,
so crucial. So crucial. Danny's cool act,
yes,
it's
rocking,
abhorrent.
Rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling. That is what I wrote down.
Same.
Danny's cool act is like he's having a medical event or like an aphasia of some sort.
Where all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're able to speak another language.
So what happens is Sandy comes up and gets all excited and goes, Danny, Sandy, yada, yada. From that exchange, his friends get so disgusted by how he's speaking to her normally that they put the pressure on him to be like Mr. Cool Guy. And the way he turns into Mr. Cool Guy is goes, hey, you know, baby, that's all me, rocking and rolling. That's my name. Don't wear it out. And immediately Sandy goes, Danny, what's going into you? And he goes, I do not know. Maybe it is me. Maybe it isn't me. Incoherent. You can barely understand him. It doesn't make sense that his friends are on board with this version of him.
Well, he needs to be exercised.
Yeah, there's a demon.
I thought it was so funny. I loved it. This is the biggest, most glaring one of all, which is, I guess, literally the plot of this entire movie, is why the hell is he not allowed to like her, see her, talk to her?
No idea.
Okay, thank you. Because I was like, is there something that I am like brutally missing here? Like,
this is the first time that I was like, is it gang loyalty? Is it a T-Bird and a Pink Lady thing?
Okay, but even that doesn't make any sense.
I know, because they sleep with other girls. I know. Obviously, she's Goody Two Shoes and he's a T-Bird. Right. And like, they, yeah. The sex thing, but also,
like, she's too pure to be pink. There's no way she had sex with you.
She's too pure to be pink. I think that is it. I just don't know why they decided to show it by Danny having an aphasia. So then we get to the sleepover. Sandy goes to Frenchie's house and they drink some wine and have Twinkies and smoke cigarettes and pierce her ear.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. It's kind of like giving me Mean Girls sort of situation. Like,
the vibe of like a bunch of girls having a sleepover is something that I think I look fondly back on with rose tinted glasses. I do think, you know, I was the one who got a lot of stomach aches at sleepovers and went home early.
Oh, I hate that for you.
That being said, like, I loved having slumber parties with my girl, with my girlfriends. You have all these plans. You stay up late. You watch movies. You dish. Like,
it hails to a time for me of,
yes,
girls' nights, hijinks.
You never wore a floor length, full sleeve Amish gown to sleepovers?
No.
With a headband?
One thing that I made note of in this scene is it's during this slumber party where the thing that we talked about in the pre, another really heebie-jeebie moment that has stuck with me forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about. You know the one I'm talking about. Brush him, brush him, brush him. Okay, my hairs are sticking on edge. They're sticking straight up. This is another subliminal message from aliens.
R.L. Stine goosebumps. I don't know what the aliens are trying to tell us with this, but I hate this message.
Okay, but I have a slight amendment to make. I don't think until this viewing I ever process the fact that she is blatantly mocking herself by saying that she is the beaver in that commercial. And for that,
so you kind of, okay,
I like her for that. It makes me, yeah, hate her way less. I'm like, that's funny, that's cool, she's self-aware.
I love a self-deprecating, yeah, gal. But at the same time, sonically,
oh my god,
that ain't it.
The onomatopoeia of that is,
so I'm watching this from two different lenses simultaneously. Lenses, okay, mama's gotta go to bed soon. Okay, so I'm watching this from two different lenses, I feel, simultaneously, and I'm going, what's happening? Is Sandy a huge bummer and needs to learn how to chill and be cool as hell and smoke and do wine and eat Twinkies and get her ears pierced? Or are these girls absolutely overwhelmingly inundating her with, pierce your ear. Here, drink this. Here, you're going to get sick, but have that. Like, I can't tell which side of the fence I'm on.
You've got me stumped.
So that's where I think I'm not a girl, not yet a woman. Okay. Like,
I feel the same. My thing that I just keep thinking is Sandra D a specific reference to a real person? Is this a fun little nickname that they've come up with because it's like to make fun of her? Or is that a real person that exists that is lame?
Call into the station. Let us know. Send email.
You know the numbers.
Elvis, let me be. Keep that pelvis far from me.
You need to get cast in music.
Grease the voice play.
As Rizzo, because I'm in awe of how spot on you are. The other thing I want to say is hopelessly devoted. I think we said this up top, but like as a kid, I was like, oh my God, snooze. I'm so
snooze
bored.
Fest.
Fast forward. As an adult, this is the greatest song ever.
Tears.
Oh
yeah,
my God,
I cried.
I'm singing it. I'm loving it.
But now there's nowhere to hide. When she hits those high notes, Sandra. Blocking wise, boring as hell.
Oh, totally. Also, I don't really understand why she's swirling the paper in the pool.
Right at this weird sleepover. Are the other girls like, Sandy, come inside? Like, it's
also, why is that letter soggy? I don't get that.
I don't know. I don't know why she sprays it either before she gives it to her so that it smells like perfume. I guess she thinks she's going to send it. I don't know. Final thing about the sleepover is, put yourself in Sandy's shoes. You've just been forced to drink wine. You've just been forced to smoke your first cigarette. It made you almost throw up. You just have been forced to get your ear pierced. You're in the bathroom. You're like, this fucking sucks. I feel sick as hell. Yeah. Like, this is so bad. Four girls inches away from you. All put on wigs and do a fully choreographed song and dance making fun of you inches away from where you are. that would have been the end for me. I don't actually think I would have come back from that. That would have been a switching school moment.
Yeah, that's a life ruiner for sure.
In high school, what's that sound? Oh, they're making fun of me for 2.5 minutes to a song that they made up.
Also, they've gone to the lengths of sourcing out wigs for this performance.
They drugged me with wine and nicotine. Now I'm sick in the bathroom in my long Amish nightgown.
Oh, God, I'm sick as hell just thinking about it. But you know what? When she comes out and she says,
are you making fun of me, Riz?
I'm obsessed with you. You're the greatest actress on the planet.
I have watched this movie 600 times. You're really good.
That is a moment where ONJ, sorry, it took me a sec. ONJ shines through. The true spirit of ONJ shines through in that moment. And I'm like, honestly, you dealt with that really cool.
I would have been crying.
Broken, calling mom, puking.
I would have been calling mom, asking for the phone. Mom, come get
pretending
me.
Pretending to be sick. Say, oh, no.
Yeah.
Something yeah. didn't agree with me. I think it was that Twinkie. Gotta go.
Yeah, no, I would have been maybe out the window, honestly, if I really felt it, and walking home by myself in my long pajamas. Okay, so next, so then Rizzo and Kaneki.
They're a power couple.
Sparks are flying outside the car. They're talking. Kaneki says, this is my favorite line. This is my favorite, like, exchange. Rizzo goes, what's up, Kanik? And he goes, one guess.
Okay, it took me a second. I didn't even understand that on the first go. I had to take a moment to let that sink in.
What's up, Kaneki? One guess. Okay.
These two are firing on all cylinders.
Why did that work for me? Like, it worked, and it worked for Riz as well. And so then they get rid of the three stooges. Danny leaves, and is Riz and Kaneki, and they're in the car.
Spicy makeout fest. I love them. Okay, I love them. They're sexy as hell. This is sexual. It's hot. It's spicy. One minor note. I hate to say this. Kaneki's kissing is a little bit wild for my liking.
Visually? Just from a visual standpoint?
If this was a sports game, he's out of bounds. Like, his tongue is basically all over her cheek.
Yeah, he's all over the place. Okay, did you notice this, though? Okay, am I 10 years old? Okay, when Kaneki pulls out his condom, mm-hmm. and it breaks, the condom makes like a snapping sound. Did you notice that? As if it's like a piece of plastic or something that's like snapped in two.
I feel like I've seen that before in other things too.
I need you to explain that to me because...
Oh, I'm not saying I understand it or that it's ever happened to me. I'm saying I think in television and movie, there's another movie or show where there's a really iconic...
Where with a snappy condom? Okay, I need some listeners to call in, to write in to my personal email address. I need this explained to me. Does that actually happen? Like, do they dry up and turn into like a piece of plastic that snaps in half? This movie... As much as I love it, it does sometimes make me feel like a child because the sexual innuendos go right over my head. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh, that's what they meant.
We just can't go any further without Crater Face. The character's name is, I'm sure that isn't his God-given name. Oh, this poor actor. How the hell did he feel about that?
The casting breakdown for that role in the 70s
So this is like a chicken. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Okay, sorry. Are you suggesting that the casting people said, we need a guy. We need the bully, the whatever. But we only want him if he has serious acne scars. Okay, you know what? Actually, we're calling his character is Crater Face. That is what we're looking for. Or conversely, they were just looking for a badass bully.
Yeah.
This guy strolls up to audition. And then they change the name of the character to Craterface.
The second, infinitely more hurtful. It's like,
oh my God, it's absolutely emotionally terrible.
To get on set first day, you've just been cast in Grease, the new musical. So exciting. To get on set the first day, and the writer comes over and goes, we're changing your character's name to Craterface because of your appearance.
Oh my God. So, hey, you guy. Playing Bobby. Yeah, your name is no longer Bobby. We've actually changed it to Craterface. It's absolutely horrible.
No reason. Just a quick change. So him and Cha-Cha just come and, like, they're not even hooking up. So it's like, get the fuck out of makeout point, number one. Number two, they just terrorize Kaneki and Riz. Rude. He says something about, like, I'll give you 25 cents for the whole thing, including the chick. They also just look like everyone's parents, so it kind of adds to...
Okay, as I've said, Cha-Cha is the oldest, most egregiously elderly person on the cast.
Yeah, I can see that. She's a French teacher at my elementary school. She's a hairdresser who owns the salon because she's been there forever. She's, a dental hygienist. Like, she is, like, a working woman in her 30s.
This isn't age shaming, but it's like you're playing a high schooler, so...
But she's also the best dancer at Bernadette's.
Unless St. Bernadette's is an adult recreation center...
Zumba classes.
Then this is absolutely...
This is totally coming off as age shaming, but it isn't. It's Grease shaming. It's the
me
casting.
Me going to a preschool...
Yeah.
And entering into a dance contest.
Okay, now I'd pay to see that front row. I'd be there. Let's get right to...
One of the top three numbers.
The meat and potatoes of the film for me. Okay, I don't even know how to begin with Grease Lightning. My thoughts everywhere, Your Honor. I'm going to need to take a quick recess. Mm-hmm. I love Grease Lightning so much. Me saying I want to be Danny Zuko, it's this version of Danny Zuko in Grease Lightning. This song, this dance, this like vibe is, oh my God, it's what I tried to channel in high school. It's what I frankly watching it still try to channel in my day-to-day life. But it does start out a little bit weird. At the beginning, it's like the main crew are like dancing in their like plain clothes, and then it pans out at one point and there's a table of students also in the class who are sitting there bewildered. They're not like bobbing their heads like, yeah, we're in a musical. What the fuck is happening? Why are these people dancing wildly? The teacher is dancing on the desk also immediately.
Okay, don't even get me started about this. The teacher of this auto shop
inappropriate.
What is her deal? Because she's cool as hell. And she obviously, like, just doesn't give a shit. She's, like, doing her own thing.
In the 50s? Oh, a beautiful time. Absolutely harmless for a teacher to be like, sure, I'll come to Thunder Road and hang out with you.
How is she privy? How does she even know what Thunder Road is? Like,
where is your family? Like, do you have a family? Because, like, why are you hanging out with these kids so much? One. Two. I know you, Olivia. You're an innocent. You're a beautiful angel. I'm looking at your eyes right now. You are a cherub. Your brain would never go here, but my brain immediately goes, she has a hots for Kaneki.
People in this movie, what is their private life? I don't know.
There's a lot of tip of icebergs in this movie. In 2020, though, that wouldn't fly. There would be parents called. If a teacher appeared at Thunder Road, would be parents called. There would be letters home.
We live in a day and age where a teacher's not even going to think about going to Thunder Road with their students.
Okay, but we have to go back to Grease Lightning.
Seeing those guys... just give it all they've got with the dance. Like, it just made me so happy. Like, they're all just trying so hard.
And they're passing the grease back up. And then Danny does the little, like, twirl at the front. Like, when Danny grabs the cellophane and rubs it on his crotch, I'm like, bada bang, that's my energy right there. Like, that is the energy I want to exude. When Danny comes down from the ceiling riding the engine, I was like, two lines that are standing out to me that I've never really, like, paid attention to in the song. First one. You know that I ain't bragging. She's a real pussy wagon.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that. Okay.
Second one. You know that it ain't shit. We will be getting lots of tit.
Oh.
Singular. A single tit.
Okay. I just can never get past the chicks will cream. The chicks will cream. Like, I'm a little kid singing the chicks will cream. Oh.
Much like A Walk to Remember is a weepy, this is a creamy.
Obviously, we all know the ultimate revenge moment happens at the end. We're all quote unquote creaming about it. It's amazing. But we get a little preview miniature revenge moment at the diner.
The Frosty Palace.
Yes. Okay. All I ever yearn for in life is some
revenge.
Spite, showing people up. Sandy gets a taste of this, and it's just the peak situation that any of us would dream to have, where it's like she's on a date with a quote unquote hunk. He's not my cup of tea, but she looks amazing. And Danny is there with his friends, and he's definitely perturbed. She is just playing it so fucking cool as he pathetically tries to, oh, Sandy, how you doing? And she just doesn't give a damn.
She's so cool about it. Like, I would be shitting my pants. I'd have been like, Tom, we have to go. Okay. I'll pay, but we have to go.
I would be breaking out in a chest rash.
Let's just go to my house. I actually just, I don't feel well. Like, we have like another quick, like the Scorpions just do a quick, very like 0.5 second drive by. Like, it's their ultimate move is just like showing up places and then driving away immediately. Our dear friend in the leather limo cap and sleeveless leather vest. I do believe he is still sitting in the back.
Okay, have you watched most of Sopranos?
Yes. He looks like Vito in the club.
It just like immediately made me think of Vito at the leather. Oh, also just one last note about this scene. Tom is a Neanderthal, or as my high school boyfriend.
Don't say Neanderthal.
Neand. I wish I could say that.
Neanderthal. No. We get it. You took Anthro 101. Like,
Neanderthal.
Oh. You know the day that he found out it was not Neanderthal? Oh, it was probably akin to the day that I found out it was not a country blumpkin. It was a country. Which I had been saying for years. Ladies and gentlemen, please keep your hands inside the vehicle. Now we're at a pinnacle scene in this film. This has stayed with both of us. So in this scene, Danny is trying to impress Sandy. He's trying to become a jock. So he goes to the gym teacher. I have a conspiracy theory of my own that I fully believe mm-hmm. that this gym class is a green screen scene. It looks fake, it looks weird, and the level of gymnastics happening.
Oh, it's behind a high, it's them a high level.
Is too high for a high school. So I do think it's footage for from like recreational Olympic training.
Recreational gym class. We've got a squad doing baseball. We've got a squad doing basketball. We've got a squad doing wrestling. Like, this gym teacher is running off his feet getting to all these different activities.
What is the timeline here? Like, we
how
had,
long is this class?
We at my school, we did not have a pummel horse or a boxing rings. Like, when they go outside, we're greeted by the basketball team, which is the group. This group of the ugliest white men I've ever seen in my life. Like the Rydell High mayonnaise, fighting mayonnaise. So then they're like, let's try track. And then comes the hurdle, the literal hurdle that Danny cannot get over. And he falls as Sandy and Tom are watching. And it's so much worse because he speeds up because he's trying to impress them and he makes eye contact with them.
It was literally the first time in my life that I ever felt deep shame and embarrassment for a man. This horrific incident at the track field reunites them. And yes. Danny concedes to going out with her.
Or she concedes to him.
Yeah. He sees through the window that the whole crew is already there. And he right away recoils. He's like, let's go somewhere else. Dude. And sets up. I love this movie. I think it's perfection. It's my favorite movie. But also, what the fuck is the plot of this movie? Why is he not able to go out with her? I do not understand this conflict.
Here's what I think it is.
Please, lay it on me.
And I'm just speculating for all you greaseheads out there. Please don't come after me, like, on Twitter.
Don't at her.
Please don't at me, because I'm just getting so many ads about this podcast on Twitter. Me and our, you know, 10 sort of engagers. It's just been a lot.
Jennifer Garner's furious about the title.
Jennifer Garner. I think it's that, not that he can't be with her. Because even Kanicki's like, she's hot. All they know is, like, Danny can't be like, hi, Sandy. Oh, of course I'll have tea with your parents. Danny has to, like, find that balance between, like, still dating Sandy but being cool. So it's, I think it's more about Danny being cool than it is about his friends being like, you'll never date that girl as long as you're in our group. What was that accent I just did? Oh, my. That's abysmal.
Could kind of make out
that went doing. Into like Oliver Twist territory.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like he doesn't know how to merge these two worlds. He wants to preserve his cool guy persona.
You know, when you're going to the Fox and the Fiddle after work for a few drinks, but then you see a friend from your improv class. Ooh, yikes, yikes, yikes.
Oh, classic scenario.
Or, you know, you're out with your, you know, your dentist, and then, oh, God, your accountant comes, and how are those worlds going to collide?
Sorry, I have a note about this scene where I just write, Duty is funny. Because I don't think we've actually used his name. One of the Three Stooges, the one who goes out with...
Do you think these are their God-given Christian Catholic names?
Yes, absolutely.
Duty, yeah, I do too, actually. Duty, Putsy, Sunny. Putsy.
So Putsy, then Putsy, Duty, and Sunny.
Putsy, and okay. Duty, and Sunny.
Okay, this is a new vocal exercise. Duty, Sunny.
I actually learned this one from the Tisch School of Arts. It is, so it's kind of a fun one you do. Putsy, Duty, Sunny, and you say it, and then you get faster, and then you're done. Beauty school dropout. There's two things I hate about this whole scene. First one, I hate that she goes, ooh, I messed up my hair. And it comes out and it's like a perfect, like, fun pink color that's like actually looks sick.
You look like you fell in a milkshake.
Oh, okay. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't even make sense. The second point, make a lullaby album and put the song on it for babies.
Beauty school dress. You know what? It's hard because when you're working with so many... number one hits, you know, they can't all be killers.
Yeah, that would be unreasonable, you know. But I'm gonna put Beauty School Dropout in my meditation playlist that I have on Spotify. We get to the next favorite part of the movie is the school dance, of top course. To bottom. Everything about this dance I love, 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 love. Ruthfully, I want to be at this dance,
like, so badly.
I want to be talking to Vince Fontaine. I want to be dancing. Oh my God, I want to be Danny and Sandy dancing when they do the little finger guns. Hell, I'd even be Cha-Cha. That's how much I want to be there.
Oh, I don't, like, care. I don't even care if I was one of those wallflowers.
I was just going to say, make
me on the bench, like, just like,
if I'm dancing, I am dancing like this, regardless. At weddings, at parties, Sean, at retirement.
Toss me through your legs.
Sean is 20 feet away at all times, can't sort of be seen with me. I'm going nuts. I'm having fun. I'm hand driving. Like, I'm loving it. And everyone just starts tearing up the dance floor.
Oh, they're giving it all they've
Rizzo,
got.
Rizzo's dress, not loving, but oh, Rizzoing. Okay.
Okay.
We're in a fight. She looks like the ladybug.
It's as if you were personally offending something I wore, because I think she looks absolutely amazing. I actually love this dress. I think it's cool as hell.
She looks like the ladybug that is currently plaguing your apartment right now, that your poor dog won't stop barking at.
He did start barking when she came on the screen in that, but suffice it to say, the dancing's amazing, the outfits yes. are amazing, everything about this is amazing. But once again, you know, if we're gonna be critical, if we're gonna get down to brass tacks, here I am once again, I'm confused.
Okay,
so
cut me in, let me know if I can clear it
help
up
me
for
out
you.
Here
yeah.
Okay, Cha-Cha is at the dance, and this is proving to be a problem for Danny. He is being very evasive with Sandy. Oh, she's a family friend. I've known her a long time. He won't really answer her questions. She definitely seems, like, weirded out. Can you just clarify something for me? Did they fuck, and he okay. doesn't want her to know?
Listen, I love this dance scene. I've seen it a million times. I don't know.
Like, am I missing something here?
I have created this weird, like, I don't know. I think if we look at it, yes, because he goes, Sandy, we went together, but we didn't go together. And she goes, well, it's the same thing. So I think what they mean is we had sex, but we didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But another Cha-Cha sort of centric mystery is, so they're doing the hand jive, they're turning it up, all of a sudden the music gets a little bit chaotic and it's like Sunny steals Sandy away so that Cha-Cha can dance with Danny. Have I always missed, like, did Cha-Cha tell Sunny to do that?
Okay,
like, so this
whole, you've lost me, because
Sandy gets, like, grabbed, frankly, like kidnapped almost by Sunny, and then Cha-Cha goes in for the kill, and Danny's for 2 or 3 seconds like, oh, I can't, and then he finally dances with her. But like that whole chaotic scene is, what's happening?
You know what, when it comes to Cha-Cha, she loves to just see the world burn, you know. That is Cha-Cha in a nutshell.
And Danny, okay, I've said this on Twitter, on my own personal Twitter account. I will say it again. Danny accepting to dance with Cha-Cha Di Gregorio so quickly, within 3 seconds, goes from, to fine, okay, yeah, is the ultimate betrayal.
Sorry, that was a tweet.
This tweet couldn't be more specific, niche. Not meant for sort of a wider audience, the way that the Twitter platform is designed. It got 7 okay. likes. I mean, we've got some Danny Sandy fans on our hand, but
it's true though. Honestly, the most egregious thing I've ever seen.
Sorry, bud. She looked the other way when you fell over that freaking hurdle like a dumb chump. And now you're gonna dance with Cha-Cha because you want to win a trophy? Like, get out of my face.
Yeah, there isn't even a cash prize on the line here. Thank God I've already switched allegiances to Kaneki, because I've hopped off the Danny boat and I'm full tilt into the Kaneki ship.
My spiritual journey with my relationship with Danny has been like, yes, I still want to be him, but there are elements of him that I have outgrown because I've become a woman, as I've become a partner, as I've become, right. You know,
and
as I've moved through life.
That's a natural thing every girl to woman goes through.
When him and Cha-Cha are dancing and he does that, like, spin around move on the floor where he jumps over him. My dude, you do not look cool. That looks like the dumbest. That's the me and my brother and sister used to play that. It's called Steamroller, where you roll and then you jump over someone.
Okay, so next up is the drive-in, which
I'm almost tempted to skip it,
for me to still stand behind all the tremendous love that I've expressed for this movie in the face of this scene really brazen. For the record, Olivia Collect, I denounce everything that goes on in this scene.
I denounce a lot about this movie, but this drive-in scene, not only is it
I can't even try to scoot over
it. I don't know what to do with it because
I don't either. Hate Danny's number during this scene.
Oh my gosh, remember we were talking about which numbers we hated most in the pre? I totally forgot about this one.
It's 100%. I blocked it out, didn't remember
Sandy,
the song.
Sandy! Baby!
Oh my, okay. In a rating of the songs, this actually is my number one hated.
I don't even know what the song is called. It's Stranded at the Drive-In, maybe. Like, it's so Stranded at the Drive-In. Like, it's so bad. Am I crazy for thinking that Kaneki wanting to help Rizzo when she's pregnant is the most romantic part of this whole film?
Okay. No, you absolutely are not, or we both are, because I wrote sad for Kaneki at the drive-in. I actually feel terrible for him in this scene. He offers to be on board.
Yeah.
And she turns him down.
Because
what's his response? I suspect you know the line. He says something like sad and cool.
She goes, it's not your problem to fix. And he goes, thanks a lot, kid.
Oh my God.
I'm so sad you cheated on me with someone else and got pregnant.
Oh my God.
I know.
Okay, is Kaneki literally the most unsung hero of any movie?
Okay, and I thought he was like the bad one.
So did I.
What is wrong with me?
Okay, I'm
what kind
to think
of childhood?
I was the stupidest fucking kid on the planet.
Was I a psychopath as a kid? Like,
yeah. Ooh, my God. Was I a child sociopath?
Truly, like,
why did I think Kaneki was evil?
Absolutely,
Kaneki
evil.
Is wonderful. Danny is evil.
Danny is disgusting.
Danny, you're the worst. He literally attacks Sandy. Like, it's not even a subtle, like, making a move on someone. It's
no.
Like, he full-fledged
jumps on her and goes, oh, Sandy.
Yeah, and it's like, this is supposed to be, like, a lighthearted scene, and it's actually horrific.
Oh, it's supposed to be, like, we're highlighting their differences in, like, sexual drive and yada yada and what they do. Thank God she gets out of there, slams the door. She's like, can you take your fucking ring, like, goodbye. Leaves. Instead of being remorseful, instead of being like, what did I just do? He becomes a, like, a nice guy, like, what did I do wrong? And he's like, stranded at the drive. Like, you're not stranded at the drive-in.
Okay, I wrote, is this song literally a ballad of him lamenting that she won't fuck him?
Yes.
We are actually supposed to be on his side here of like, poor Danny.
Okay, and the crazy thing, when I was a kid, I totally was. I was like, oh, they broke up again. Like,
okay. So I think we're figuring out here that as children, we were absolute psychopaths.
Psychopathic behavior, like one dead animal away from seeing a doctor, frankly. Like, if you weren't already, you're listening to this podcast right now, you're clenching your fists, you're clenching your jaw, you're so mad about Danny's actions. If you weren't mad enough, the next line of the song is, what will they say Monday at school? You selfish fucking loser. I tried to come on to my girlfriend and she didn't want me to, so then she fuck off, Danny. You're such a piece of shit.
Oh my God.
It is so hard to love this movie and then dip into the problematic factor.
You have to compartmentalize.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there are some things that are so egregious that it's just like, oh my God.
Which is Kaneki asking Danny to be his second in command at Thunder Road.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Despite absolutely hating Danny.
Yeah.
On the heels of our last discussion, I hate Danny. Honestly, he's not worthy of being Kanicki's friend. But having said that, seeing Kanicki was like so, he's like shy to do it. He's like embarrassed and ashamed, you know, male closeness is difficult for them. And he asks Danny to be his second in command at Thunder Road, which presumably is pretty prestigious. That is
a big freaking deal. I think this movie is actually about Kanicki, frankly. Like,
I mean, maybe we've just been watching it wrong our entire lives.
Who are the stars of Grease? Maybe
if we polled people, actually, everyone's like, yeah, it's a movie about Kanicki and Rizzo, and there's some side characters named Danny and Sandy,
and they sort of get in the way. So now we get to Thunder Road. The moment we've all been waiting for, the moment that teacher, that weird auto teacher, has been waiting for. everyone's going down to Thunder Road. It's so exciting.
It's almost as if Thunder Road is like the final project of the auto repair class.
Yes, it's like their
that's
exam.
Your final exam.
Yes.
Can you beat the Scorpions at Thunder Road?
Pass. As an adult. Okay, so they set up Thunder Road. Okay, firstly, Thunder Road is not a road. It is a dam? Like, is it a...
Yeah, what do you call
it? It is
that?
Not like a road.
A drained
it is a
dam?
It is a drained dam without water in it. It's like a water runoff area. How did they get the cars down there, number one?
Well, you saw. They drive up the sides of the dam.
Okay, they drive up the sides on like a very slight angle. But like, I'm talking...
So maybe they zoom down them from the top.
No, Olivia, you cannot drive headfirst. Do you see what happened to the car when it took that small jump? Imagine coming from like a 100-foot ramp. They would have had to get cranes. They would have had to been lowered in. There is no way that.
Maybe actually that dam.
There's no road access.
Comes out of like a sewer pipe.
I hate you for even suggesting that this is road accessible. And then I'm also watching them all standing on the sides of the dam. How the hell are they keeping their balance? Every time Sandy stood up, I was like, oh, careful, careful. Like, it
honestly,
was.
Honestly, that is stressful because even if I'm in the nosebleeds at a baseball game, I'm petrified I'm going to fall forward. And those have steps.
Those steps are steep, though. They scared the hell out of me. Okay. The auto teacher's there being creepy. Kanicki hits his head. The coin that got flipped falls on his eye, and I can't. I don't know why it bothers me. Every time I watch the movie, it bugs me.
It's horrible. It's like,
I'm like, is he wearing a monocle? What's happening? What is that? What is that?
I did not understand that as a kid. I don't understand it as an adult.
It's like a point of contention. Okay, so then Danny has to, obviously, because it's a Danny show, so he has to drive. Okay, so let's talk about the race. Is this Mario Kart? Crater Face has these tools and tricks up his sleeve.
He's dropping banana peels.
He's got turtle shells. He's got shining stars. He has spikes. Spikes that come out of the side of his car. And what are we doing? What are we doing, Crater Face? Why is your car a Mario Kart vehicle? Danny does like a mini jump off the water, and you can you can tell they do it slow motion, but you can tell that car is damaged beyond repair. Like, they had to lower a new Grease Lightning in to finish the shot. There's no way. Like, that was a massive accident.
But I, at this point, I have to be honest.
Actually, just waiting for the carnival.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
You don't even care.
At this point, I'm just like, get me to that carnival. Get me that top to bottom leather outfit situation.
Get me that
that perm and that cigarette.
Get me those orange wedges that are actually kind of more like heels.
Oh my God. Okay, so this lyric, "Goodbye to Sandra D," this basically solidifies that the moral of this movie is be
different, be hotter, be different,
hotter, have sex,
yes, smoke a cigarette, like, smoke a fucking cigarette.
It's time to leave your childhood in the dust and grow up.
I know what Sandy is about to do when she's singing the reprise, but I just don't know why. This man has been terrible to you. You guys obviously don't get along. You don't really even have fun. He basically catfished you at the beach, being all sweet.
Actually, that's a great point. That's only really occurring to me as you say it right now, is nothing between then and now that we've seen has transpired to make up for that.
Nope.
You are simply seeing him win this race and deciding, you know what? That does it for me. It's time for me to change for this man.
I think because the drive-in scene, rewatching as an adult, was so icky that I was just like, she saw him win a race. That's it.
If he had not won,
would that sleeveless black top be, honey, if you hadn't won? Would those orange heels be? Still in the closet? And the worst part is I know all this. I'm an adult and I get this.
What the hell is this relationship?
It's terrible.
I don't even want these two together, quite frankly.
The moral that are being exemplified here
is change for the one you love. He shows up in his stupid little cardigan.
That's a step up for him. It's like, get your shit together. Yeah, become athletic so you can be healthier and like do better and blah, 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 and get better at school, yada, yada. For her, it's like, yes, smoke a cigarette and freaking like wear some lipstick and perm your hair, for God's sake. What have you been doing? It's like,
put on some heels, you friggin'.
Yeah, you loser. It's like, what? Like, just let her, whatever. But all that being said,
this look is
amazing.
Oh my God, it is.
This look is
Oh my God, it surpassed any memory I had of it. She looks better than ever. The curls are more voluminous than ever.
Yes,
the pants are better than ever.
Oh, they're like, so tight. The off the shoulder is so, it looks so good. The lipstick, the color, the smoky eye looks amazing. Her smoking a cigarette looks cool as hell. I hate it, but she looks so cool. Her orange heels, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Oh my God.
The sequence of this, I wrote, I need to do this shot for shot. The Tell Me About It stud, revenge fantasy times 4,000 million, perfect typology, A, perfect scene ever. First, the three boys look, and they go one at a time down the line. Then all the other men look at her, and they're so close to her face. It's actually kind of scary if you go back and watch. And then Danny looks, and his jaw drops, and he goes, Sandy. And the piano comes in. It goes, dun, 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 dun. And she goes, tell me about it, stud. And that line,
I'm getting chills. My just God. Having you reenact it.
Everyone, in 3 weeks, I'm doing the Grease teleplay by myself. I will be, it's a radio play. I will be reading. I will be reenacting Grease, all the parts. Music starts. We're in. I'm losing my mind. The scene is better than I remember. This is the revenge I want. And I still want. When I was a child, this is what I wanted. When I was an adolescent, this is what I wanted. I wanted to look hot in front of everyone that ever made fun of me. And
it's the ultimate.
Like, it's
to
it's,
look hot to the level that she looks hot in this scene in front of all of your peers.
She has, and, oh my God. She has all the power in this scene.
Give me $1 million. Give me the ability to fly. Give me my dream job. No, thank you. No, thank you. No,
I'll
thank
pass.
You. I'll take the revenge moment in Greece.
I would trade so many things in my life for this fantasy to come true. She goes in a funhouse in heels and looks confident as hell. Mm-hmm. There are moving floors. There are spinning tunnels. There are...
The way she's maneuvering.
Oh my God.
This wacky house.
It is Olympian. It's athletic as hell. Oh, small part of my brain somehow thought that there was more to the funhouse. Like, I thought that, you know... I mean, give me a hall of mirrors at least. give me a room with the punching bags where you got to get out and without hurting other people. You know, give me a room where the floor, both the floors moves in different ways so that you have to, it's like you're skiing. And you know, I mean, that's standard funhouse. This funhouse is pretty kind of basic. But I'm still on board, and she's in the Shake Shack at the end, and she's holding on to Danny for dear life, and she's got heels on, and it's like, oh my God, I couldn't do that barefoot if I tried.
Oh my God, the pelvis move too. Oh my God.
Like, she's perfect.
Everything.
The song is catchy and fun. Like, everyone's watching. It's the attention is, oh, spotlight's on her. Oh, God, I love it. And then that Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a song comes on, and honestly, I don't care. The movie's over for me when the funhouse is done. How do you feel about the Ram-a-lam-a song?
This is fun. Like, the...
It's so fun.
Like, the people kicking up the dirt, like, yeah, dancing yeah. in the dirt, that's fun. All the extras, I'm like, look at these people. Like,
they're having fun.
Dancers,
yeah.
That's great. Like, imagine being an extra in that scene. That's
oh, cool. Totally.
But also I said, kind of the way everyone dances down the line, I'm like, every friggin' movie should end this way, where we get a look at all the crew. Just have everyone dance down the line. I want to see everyone's face again, you know?
It's a play. Give us our credit, our closing yes. scene. I just feel like I'm in the afterglow of You're the One That I Want still. And I'm just kind of like, okay... Like, I'm spent.
We've done what we sought out to do.
Like, I feel like a little bit of, like, an aunt at a birthday party sort of deal. Like,
we've had our cake.
Yeah. We're going to go. We're going to go. I put LMAO at the idea of high schoolers singing, "We'll always be together."
Oh, wow. That is funny. That also hasn't been my experience either.
The moral of this movie, I guess, is completely lose your identity so that you could be in a relationship. Just sort of fundamentally change who you are. And number two, smoking. It's cool as hell and it's back in style. So grab yourself a pack.
Smoking and leather jackets.
Smoking and leather are in. When I was a child, I did not understand why the car flew. When I was a teenager, I did not understand why the car flew. An adolescent, why is this car flying? And as an adult, I still don't fucking understand why this car flies away into the clouds, and why do they give a shot of the clouds?
Well, it kind of does harken back to our previous statements about the beach when we said this entire thing has been a fever dream.
Listen, the physics of Greaseland, I don't know, but there's something supernatural and scary at play. Is all I'll say about that. But that is Greece. Greece is the word. Have you heard? Greece lightning, go. Do the hand jive. Thank you. Oh God, thank you guys so much for listening. It's truly, I'm trying to be sincere. I know I sound like I'm being sarcastic because I
know.
Very sincerely, it's so nice to have people just have fun with us as we are just being dumb talking about things that we like.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure, such a joy getting so many people reaching out with kind words. It's brought so much joy. And again, I also am cursed with a voice that no matter how sincere I am being, it does not sound sincere. But
yeah, I actually had a moment where I was like, I'm so happy to have this right now because it gives me structure, and it's been so fun revisiting movies. And like, I just having even just friends and people reaching out and saying, telling me like what they laughed hard about when they rewatched the movie, and like, it's just been very, very nice. And especially, oh, I'm getting so sappy, but especially during this time, it's so fun and nice to have something like this. So thank you for listening. That being said, guys, our Twitter is absolutely abysmal. I don't even think we're in the triple digits. We are getting ones, twos on these posts.
Oh, I'm staggering along on Instagram trying to figure it out. I'm making more stories than I've ever made in my life. Hardly know how to use them.
You're a storyteller at heart.
You
could put that on a resume. To
funnel my storytelling
through Instagram
stories. If you're listening to this and you haven't followed either of these, please go ahead and do that. That would mean so much.
And you know, we're not begging, but we're begging. I'm begging you.
Rate and write us a little review. It doesn't have to be long. Can be one line. But if you've listened to the podcast and you're enjoying it, oh man, writing a review would help us out immensely.
And we don't have a sign off, but if we did, it would be
put some relish on it.
Put the relish on it, Riz, and hand jive that weenie.
Yeah.
I think that's a great one. That's actually our strongest one so far. A great one. And with that, thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Well, guys, that was an episode of 30 Going on 13. Thank you so much for listening. Please go ahead and follow us on all of our social media accounts. Twitter is at 30 Going on 13, the podcast, and Instagram at 30 Going 13. And listen to all the eps on whatever technological forum from which you download your podcasts. Thank you. Bye.